realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
If you have questions, news, requests, new technology you would like us to review, team updates, event updates, or if you would like to be a guest on our show, email us at submit@paranormalinvestigatorradio.com.
Welcome to Paranoia Investigator Radio. I'm Peter Meikle.
What?
The hell?
I don't know. I thought we were in a Meikle kind of night.
It's getting there.
Some crazy action. Larry's been penning away for the last hour with paranormal topics.
I'm prepared for this radio show.
Larry has like 9 pages of stuff. It's crazy. Yeah, you do. It's great.
Okay, we'll go with 9.
And you listeners out there are going to love some of this. There's one we just can't wait to talk about.
It's pretty good. It's the closer. You got to save one for last. You got to leave on a high note.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the only thing coming up this weekend, we have a couple of house investigations and also the Guilford Historical Society on February 14th, Saturday.
So if you're lonely, you know where to go.
There you have free lunch.
Oh,
they're serving lunch too.
Yeah,
serving lunch to the hearts.
It's a 3-hour affair.
A 3-hour tour.
But you know, you've seen the weather forecast, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like -2 the high for the day.
Yeah.
Hot, no snow.
-18.
Is this mic picking me up?
Yes. Sounds
okay,
good.
You want me to boost your?
No, it's just, you know what? These headphones are so much better than. And I'm just used to hearing what it's really supposed to sound like.
Speaking of,
how about that?
18,
fantastic.
18 feet of snow over here.
Literally, we can't see the street or the strange people walking by.
I know, that's a shame, too.
That'll make for a relaxing radio show tonight.
So if there's any spirits with us tonight and you'd like to talk with us, the microphones are on, so have at it.
Heck yeah.
And we've been setting up quite a few things. We're not ready to make our major announcement, but there's going to be something fun coming to Rome very soon.
Is there? What is it?
Dominoes. No.
Aw.
We already have dominoes.
You have it once, you've had it forever.
That's right.
That was a good
just like the head, though. I mean, what?
What the heck?
So, good college pizza. Good college pizza.
Yeah, I got, okay, I can't tell a story. All right. Yeah, it's good college pizza.
You want to tell the story? Go ahead. It's pretty normal, I'm sure.
It's not. It's not at all. Okay, so if she's listening, the one day she would listen is the day that I would tell this story, too.
This is going to be a good one.
Okay, so my ex-girlfriend, all right, so there are only 2 exes. The first day we met and we've known each other, we knew each other for a while before we actually started dating because we were good friends. We have friends, you know, same people, same group of people. And, so anyways, I thought she moved away to Albany. So I go to Albany to visit a friend in school and she comes walking out of the bar and I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing? Let's make up.
Oh,
so
just like that.
Just like that.
Wow.
So anyways, that happened, but we knew each other before that. So we go over to my friend's dorm room and I text message her and I say, hey, what are you up to? And I'm in this building. She's like, oh my God, I'm upstairs. So she comes running downstairs and we're hanging out and we quote unquote watched Robin Williams stand up on Broadway, whatever it was. And So anyways.
Was it a good performance?
It was a fantastic performance. So in the middle of Robin Williams' performance, we forgot we called Domino's. So Domino in the middle of
the performance.
And we were in the living room, so no one saw really. And the guy comes to the door to open it for Domino's, and it's just like light shines like the light of God. Just
that's terrible. Like,
get the door, it's Domino's.
Oh, that Robin Williams performance.
Yeah. Robin Williams. That's all I got for Robin Williams.
Would you get on the piece of sausage or plain?
Got sausage. Folks,
holy, can we say that on the air?
Sausage is the pizza she got. She got sausage. She really likes
and peppers.
She really likes sausage, big sausage on her pizza.
So now we're talking. Let's clarify now for our listeners. We're talking sausage or sausage
from Domino's Pizza.
Well, it was a special brand of Irish sausage that she got.
Would that be bangers and mash?
It was bangers, all right.
I think that's British, isn't it?
And if she had mash, I would have gotten out of there really quick. I don't know.
What the heck?
I'm really feeling good about Thursday's show.
Cheapers.
Play away, Larry. Play away.
So what do we got? That's new.
I have no memory of what.
Steve just texted me that we were cutting in and out. It would probably help if I actually plugged the internet in. So.
Oh,
no,
good.
We should be
really?
Good. So.
Oh, Steve missed half of Steve. Steve missed half of the my
Hi, Steve.
I'm not going to tell it again, Steve. I'm sorry. I'll tell you when you're here.
Thanks for listening, Steve. We miss you.
Text me if you heard about the sausage.
Or call in if you heard about the sausage. The number is Peter. I don't know it.
Call us, Steve. Here, wait, we got the sound bite here.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888.
What?
429-5471.
We don't have international callers.
It's okay.
So I think we're good.
So.
But if you are from Canada, feel free to call us in because.
Oh, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Our northern snow buddies.
Well, I just wanted to call up that radio show that you guys do down there, eh? And,
yeah.
just wanted to talk about how good it is. And
wow, you do that good.
Well, you know, I do a lot of practicing.
So Steve just chat-boxed us. He big sausage.
Oh, so. Thanks, Steve. You too.
Dr. Steve Switzerland talking about the sausage.
Remote via text messaging.
Heck yeah.
I do have a Domino's pizza story too, but I don't know if the statute of limitations are worn out since college, so I'll just let that go.
Yeah, we better figure that out first.
I'll tell you later, but that's
oh, okay. So
have
Dave,
you seen,
any news?
I'm deeply engrossed in this article right here about it's a neurological article about first impressions and how leaders are picked. There is a paranormal tie into it, but it's talking right here about violinist Joshua Bell. And this guy has a $3.5 million violin. And his performances earn him $1,000 a minute to play this violin. He's a musical genius, but aside from that's what I was reading. I was just
no, that's interesting.
So is he
that.
Using infrasound to hypnotize people?
No, they're saying that there's a lot of audio phenomena that take place beyond our hearing. It's not infrasound, but this audio phenomena will impart some kind of control over your ability to focus in on a leader in a group of random people. How do they pick a leader among the group, and why is it always just suddenly happening? And then first impressions and paranoia feelings, memory recall. It's interesting. It's cool.
That sounds like it might affect different people different ways, too.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Like certain noises can give someone a migraine. Certain noises can cause a seizure to someone, right?
The brown note.
Yeah.
We all know about the brown note.
We all know about that.
What is the brown note?
If you've ever seen Pete and Pete... When I was little,
Pete and Pete, that's right. Oh, I love that.
Pete and Pete, and he had the guitar.
Yep.
And if he hit that certain note, it would blow the lint out of your, it would turn an innie into an outie and blow the lint out of your belly button.
The brown note is supposed, it's supposed to be a particular frequency which will cause you to lose all bowel control. That's the brown note.
If you can tell me how to do that, I have a whole workplace I'll test that out on.
That's fantastic.
That's cool.
You know, there is something to that because Candy was watching the Grammys the other night, and there's a certain song, I won't say what it is, probably because we could get in trouble, but as soon as I hear that song on the radio, I don't know what it triggers in my mind, but I want to actually hurt things. I want to break things.
Oh, it like sends me into an
uncontrollable rage. Like,
oh, now
I can't control myself. Like, jazz music does that to me too. I can't stand jazz music. It like cuts right through my brain, and it just like I have to get out. I start shaking. I have to get out of that that atmosphere.
Jazz is supposed to be soothing, I think.
Yeah. Why did you turn off the jazz music?
Actually, that and blues too. I can't stand blues. There's just certain things that.
Yeah.
I like everything that you just said you hated.
I like it too.
See you later, guys.
Sound is a weird thing. I mean, you know, I'm the Civil War historian, and that was a big thing that they used to talk about during the Civil War was the acoustic shadowing, where they would fire cannons off in battle and you couldn't hear them, but it would blow windows out 20 miles away.
Hmm.
Jesus.
Because you'd have to imagine, like the Battle of Gettysburg, you got 15,000 people charging about, like, 10,000 people behind cover firing cannon at them, and they couldn't hear the gunfire. Like,
but it would be shattering when the sound.
Blue windows out in Washington, yes.
You know, I saw amazing things with the friggin', with the meteor that hit in.
Russia.
In Russia.
Yeah.
And man, it blows the windows out a good, I'd say, 2 minutes after everyone sees it.
Yeah.
After everyone sees it, and then you hear a slight rumble, and boom!
Yep.
I mean, they weren't even expecting it because everyone was so caught up in, oh my God, did you see that thing that happened 2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
And I just think that's amazing how sound works like that.
Have you been to our Honor America Days
No.
festivities or ever experienced cannon fire at the fort?
I've been around cannon fire, but not at the fort.
That's a real concussive feeling. Yeah.
They used to blow the one off in Frankfurt all the time on 4th of July, I think. They used to.
Yep.
I made the mistake of standing maybe an inch in front of the muzzle, but off to the side, a good 6 or 7 feet. And when that thing went off, it literally turned me to jello. Like, you could feel your entire inside. Like,
Pete's on the ground. I have soft tissue damage.
I felt like Peter Griffin in that one episode where he didn't have any bones. It was just like, oh,
jelly.
God. So imagine being in front of that thing when it's actually pounding. Well, you figure you're blowing out about 5 pounds of gunpowder. Well, they're not even using a full load.
No. You might want to finish that, what you just said.
Blowing out a full load?
Of gunpowder.
Of gun. There we go.
That's why they used to call it hot shot, young daddy.
Hey-o!
We're going to pump it full of shot and leave her burning.
Holy macaroni.
Jeez.
Oh, there are my headphones over there.
Would you like to go get them?
No, I love these ones, and I'm going to get new headphones.
We're going to give you a broadside. Rammer!
There's a nice set of Batman headphones I saw when I was out shopping the other day. I might grab those headphones. Ones.
That would be cool.
Yeah, they got Bat symbol on them, because I'm a huge nerd, and I'm never going to get a girlfriend ever talking like this.
Larry's available, so if anybody would like to call
No, don't do that to them. Somewhere out there, there's a girl, and she's got to spend the rest of her life with me. Let her have...
Larry's a good
She's
guy.
Enjoying herself.
He's right hilarious.
Now. There's Match.com, and then there's Rip.com.
That's right.
We look out for a brother, don't worry.
Yep.
We'll pre-screen him for you. It's what Tristan used to call the firing squad.
That's right.
I don't go on any of the dating websites where you got to pay. Come on. That's craziness. I go for the free crap.
Craigslist?
No.
Okay.
No, that's how you find people selling free crap, literally, like
Babies.
Selling free boxes of crap, of like their crap.
Ooh.
Whoa, what was that?
That was a punch right in the face. See, I'm one of the few people left on the planet that actually pay for AOL, and I just got a mail.
You do?
Huh?
You pay for AOL? Well,
yeah.
You have to pay for that?
Yeah.
Good God. Why do you pay for AOL?
And what century is this?
I've never had a problem with them.
Yeah, but it's not 1993 anymore.
I was home for 3 hours downloading AOL 2.0.
How very loyal.
Oh, my God, Pete.
That's something paranormal that I just experienced myself.
You got mail.
This goes back to the early days of the interwebs.
Look at all that snow. If anybody's listening to us from somewhere where there's not snow, do me a favor and slice your wrists. Because we've got so much snow, it's ridiculous.
Every 4 minutes, a gigantic truck drives by our window fully loaded with snow. They're carting our snow off somewhere. The barge? Do they dump it in the barge canal?
Would that flood it, though? That would totally flood it.
God, there's hundreds of tons of snow that go by here every minute.
They, like, dump it in?
I don't know.
Well, do you know what happened on Saturday?
What happened Saturday?
What was Saturday? It was the 7th, right, Saturday? It was indeed the 7th.
She was 7.
They ended up, there was a group of the Iranian Navy, and they ended up finding the carcass of a bizarre sea creature found in the Persian Gulf. And the video of it's kind of cool, but like the closer they get, and it's all over weird things and this and that. But the closer they get to it, it looks like some kind of whale. Like, it's got to be. Like, what else would it be? There's no, it's all black and rotted and gross, but man, it's all over the place. But it's definitely a whale.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
So the military actually found it.
Yeah, it was the Iranian Navy that found it.
Weird.
Well, that's like the Boy Scouts finding it. But...
Yeah, I mean, it's a whale. It's got to be. I mean, it's...
Some of them sperm are pretty big, too, aren't they? They're like the size of...
They're huge.
Like, huge.
And some of the skeleton that you can see, like, from it being so rotted, looks like a cartoon skeleton of a big whale. You know, it looks like a cartoon skeleton of a whale.
Well, do you remember the Montauk Monster a couple of years ago, or was that last year where the thing washed up and everybody thought it was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still
Chupacabra
can't.
Or whatever they thought.
I still don't know, like, heads or tails. I can't make of it. Well, did they ever say what it really was?
Yeah, somebody said... I don't remember what it was. I do remember it, though.
It was some kind of dog, but the skin had fallen off.
It was
or the
was
fur
a dog?
Had fallen off.
Yeah, it was okay. In the water for so long, it...
I was thinking, like, a turtle without the shell, like, something happened, and the shell got torn apart. Because it looked like it had, like, a bill, like a beak,
yeah.
You know?
Water can do weird things, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's constantly soggy.
Like, when they, like, when they pull up, like, with airplane crashes, they'll pull up, like, people, and the part of them that's in the water is either gone.
Yeah.
Or it's just, like, night and day. It's totally different. Ugh.
It's
I don't
gross.
Know why I brought that up. Now I'm thinking about it, and then ugh.
So we're like fish waterproof. Is that why they don't like?
Heck yeah.
Go bad. I mean, hell yeah. There's
like a frog's butthole waterproof.
This really isn't paranormal, but trying to win an argument. I don't know if you gentlemen are old enough, but if there's anybody out there who can confirm this, I have a bet with someone. This is about the Chernobyl disaster.
Mm.
I remember watching something on television where they had to call in a U.S. sniper to shoot something to turn some valve off before they could seal the containment area. Now, either it's one of the wildest dreams I've ever had, but I need somebody to confirm that I'm either crazy or I'm not. I mean, I spent like 48 minutes reading the Wikipedia article on it, which
he
didn't mention.
What did he have to shoot? He had to shoot somebody?
A steam valve or something. Something was stuck in an on position, and because of the high radiation, they couldn't go anywhere near. They had to bring snipers in to shoot the valve
shoot
out
the
or
valve?
Something.
I never heard of that.
I distinctly remember
like
watching it on TV, but I can't find any mention of it. Anytime I bring up Chernobyl sniper, brings up some video game with whatever. But if anybody out there can confirm that, please let me know, especially if you were that sniper.
Never heard of
it. I would love to go to Chernobyl. I mean, I've seen videos of different paranormal investigating groups that have gone there. And man, oh man, some of the stuff that they catch. I mean, absolutely amazing. Like, they'll catch on thermal cameras, like, full body apparitions walking by windows.
Yeah.
And it's obviously not someone wearing a radiation suit. I mean, the noises, they hear kids laughing, pianos playing. I remember, what was it? Destination Truth.
I love this show.
And
they went
I'll
there,
tell you,
yep.
When they went there and they walk by the piano and they ding ding on the piano and they're walking, they're going in the other room. The piano goes ding da, ding da, ding ding and they're like, what?
Yep.
That's insane. And you know what? I'm telling you, it's gotta have something to do with the high radiation levels. It's gotta.
I mean, they'll get handprints. I want to say it was Destination Truth, but a handprint just appeared on the wall and then just went away using the thermal camera.
Yeah.
Just showed up and went away.
Didn't he pick up a girl too or something? Yeah. Or a little child?
Yeah, a child.
I mean, it's got to have something to do with the high radiation levels. That's why, you know, I think a lot of paranormal activity has to do with certain radiation levels that a location is getting off at a certain time of the day. That's what I think. I don't know.
We just had a really long discussion about Chernobyl at work the other day because we have a lot of tons and tons of foreign people that work where I work. And a few of them came from neighboring cities around Chernobyl. And a couple of their relatives were there during the disaster. A few of them had come to America just prior to the disaster. And the inside information that these people share is just like the experiences of what it's like to live through something like that.
That was insane.
Mass evacuations in a relatively, at that point, undeveloped region. And it's weird.
People weren't evacuated. They should have been evacuated.
Yep.
I mean, it was probably chaos.
Yeah.
But the death toll was only like 31 people. I always thought it was a lot more.
Toll. Yeah, the immediate death toll.
Yeah.
But, and there was most of the fire time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not counting
birth defects.
Yep. Mothers that gave birth to like weird things. And yep.
According to Wikipedia, it was only like 240 cancer deaths following. That doesn't sound right in any way, obviously, but.
But do you honestly think the Russian government is going to say that there's any more deaths than were recorded? Because they can't do anything wrong. There was that serial killer that was going on in like the 1980s. Citizen X was the movie that HBO did on it. And it's absolutely amazing. It's this guy who looks like Woody Allen, which I love Woody Allen. I'm not saying anything bad about him. But he was murdering prostitutes and young girls. He was finding these young girl prostitutes, murdering them and cutting off, you know, body parts and hiding them in the woods. And the Russian government refused to say that they had a serial killer. Refused. Russia cannot have a serial killer because we can't. That was their explanation. And by the time he killed about 10, 15 girls, they were like, okay, I guess we got a problem.
Yeah.
And they ended up finding him like right away. But if you ever get a chance to watch it, Citizen X, and it's absolutely amazing. It's a great movie. It's a good, you know, whodunit movie. It reminds me of Silence of the Lambs. You know, I love those kinds of, that's a movie I got to watch.
Have you ever YouTubed the sounds coming from hell from Russia?
No.
There's apparently recordings of the sounds of hell. The opening is in Russia someplace. May even be Siberia, I'm not sure.
Like a big cave?
There's like recordings all over YouTube. I could probably find one. I don't know if we're allowed to play that stuff on the air, but.
Sounds from hell, though? Why wouldn't we be able to play that?
Well, it's YouTube. Are we allowed to play YouTube?
Well, you don't have to say it's on YouTube.
Okay,
but now that you've said it three times, I don't think it matters.
We'll talk about something else and then. Well, you know, if they ever defrosted Siberia, God knows what you're going to find in there.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, yeah. What is that? Oh, Pete, that's you.
That's Candy. If you're listening, I'm on the air. I don't know why you're calling me. Very interesting. I'm going to look for something on something, but I'm not going to say where I found, so.
Okay.
Well, radiation can't be too bad. Did you guys see the picture on Facebook about Brian Williams reporting live from Hiroshima?
Yeah, no. I saw that. He looks good. He looks good.
Really?
I don't want to get political on here, but no, some of them cartoons are hilarious.
He just, it's a mess up. He shouldn't have misled, but he did. People mess up and make bad decisions. It's okay.
People running with them pictures, they're hilarious. Like there's one, it's like reporting live from Little Round Top with General Custer. And there's the picture of him in uniform and Abe Lincoln standing in the back.
Is this because he said he was somewhere where he really wasn't?
Yeah.
Okay. He was in a helicopter and wasn't? Okay. I caught that on the radio.
That's what every criminal uses that defense. Oh, so it is Siberia. Let's see how loud this will be. I want to blow out the screen.
Now, I've got a clean copy of it now, and I warn you, told me this story of the fabricated period. Sounds from hell. This at 4:30.
What the heck?
And so I.
Oh,
Where? How do they know this? First off, why is it called Sounds from Hell? It just sounds like
actual radio pickup. It's,
it does sound like a radio.
Just sounds like a station that's not really coming in.
Yeah.
That's all that gathered from it. I don't know if you've ever heard it. That's what I was.
No.
How are they claiming that it is sounds from, like, what makes them say that?
Well, they reported it from Siberia, recorded it in Siberia near a hole.
Oh, they recorded
it? And this hole goes to hell.
Oh, Jesus.
No, hell.
Yeah, that's right. I missed
the other one, up, not down.
Down, not up.
Wait.
Well, yeah,
depends
whatever
on your
way.
Perspective. When you're down.
Whatever way, it's not looking good for me, so it really doesn't matter.
Should we, since we're talking about the weird paranormal, shall we, Larry?
What time is it? Holy moly, is it that? It's 8:30 already? Why not? You know, I read a lot of weird things.
Prepare yourself at home.
And
it's about to get deep. Not the sausage.
I'm not certain of the location, like where this woman comes from. But she is a psychic, and her name is Tephanie Faye Cohen, and she's different. She's different from all other psychics because she claims to have sex with aliens.
Oh dear, here we go.
Yes, sir.
Like undocumented or like the real space kind?
That's interesting. These aliens come to her in her sleep because if they came in real, like face to face, she claims that people would be scared. So this happens to her in her sleep, and not just her. She's part of a group called Team Spirit.
Team Spirit.
There we go. Alien, alien. Oh. Thanks, Kurt. I needed to hear that sound like I need a hole in the head.
Did you say Team Spirit? I thought you said Teen Spirit. I'm sorry. My mistake.
She claims that her and her group go flying in their flying saucer often. And
it is a saucer.
It is. It is a saucer. That's pretty specific. She wanted to make certain that she said saucer. And these aliens all come from the same solar system in Canis Major, I guess. I don't know if that's real or made up. I don't know constellations or anything. But that is real. Never mind. That is real because it's a constellation. And she claims that there are four distinctive alien species. Greys, reptilians, cat people, and octomen.
Octomen.
So this woman, right away, I can tell that she's got about 20 cats in a room, and she's really into hentai porn.
Oh, dear.
So there we are with that. And she has a very special relationship with an octopus man named Ian.
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 It's not Yordborn 2713, bleep, blop. It's
Ian.
Yeah, that's my octopus boyfriend. Oh, my God. What's his name? He's cute.
Ian.
The cat people, she makes sure that she says the cat people are very sexually charged.
Oh.
Ooh. Meow, meow, kitty cat.
Oh,
meow, meow.
No mention of the Orion slave girls?
No mention of that. She was actually on British television. She was on a British show in 2013 called This Morning, and she was on it specifically to provide proof. Physical proof of this stuff, and she couldn't. So, but she claims to this day that the sex was out of this world.
Oh, yeah. So, what was the physical proof that she was supposed to be providing?
I don't know, but they wanted her to provide physical proof. She agreed to go on the show. She couldn't provide the physical proof.
Wow, that's weird.
So it was probably just a really awkward interview.
So do you think Doctor Who was actually the British government's way of disseminating real alien information?
Why not?
Since it's been the longest running television show?
Why not, Pete? I'd say so.
Okay, let's debate this topic here. So we have this lady claiming there's four species of aliens.
Yes.
There's actually 54. Just so you know, there's
Thanks,
54
Pete,
species
for clearing
of aliens.
That up with us.
The ones that are friendly to us, I may have this wrong, they come from the reticuli. There's the beta reticuli, and then there's the other reticuli, which I can't remember for the life of me. I believe beta reticuli are the grays, which are the evil species. Then there's the blues, which our government apparently has secret relationships with. And those are the ones that give us the secret technology, the big package, the atomic bomb, things like that. I don't know if you've ever... Did you ever watch the movie Real Men with John Ritter and the Belushi guy?
Very long time ago.
No.
Those were the blues. They were giving us the big package to save the earth for a glass of water.
Yep.
Hilarious movie. Very hilarious. So, and the reticuli, actually, if you want to talk about the real alien abduction, it was Betty and, was it Barney Hill?
Yes.
Betty and Barney Hill were actually taken to the
abductees
by beta reticulans because they were able to actually draw the map of the solar system, apparently, where they came from based on a chart that was on the wall in the spaceship while they were being probed.
Really?
So that's where the reticuli come into play with that. I'm not sure about Travis Walton, what his story was. Forgive me, I never actually watched the movie there. He was the...
Are you talking about Fire in the Sky? I was just thinking about that. I love that movie. I think that movie's done so well. And, I mean, I watch interviews with these guys, the real-life interviews, the real-life people that went through this. And, man, oh, man, these guys aren't lying. These guys aren't lying.
It's weird stuff.
These guys are crying. These are tough, tough lumberjacks sitting there breaking down because they were accused of murder, accused of murdering their friend. And then their friend comes back and he's like, no, that didn't happen. This is what happened. These guys are in these interviews crying. It's unbelievable watching these interviews with these guys because I love the movie. The movie is absolutely amazing.
He was at the Phenomenology, the first one I went to, but then we got sick and I had to go home. I never actually got to talk to him, but he was there.
I would love to. Why would you want to talk with something about something like that? That was so horrible.
Well, I think he's trying to make everybody aware that that's his story and that's...
I mean, if it's really that rough on him, I mean, I'd imagine it would have screwed him up for... I mean, that happened in 1970.
70s, right? 77, 78?
Somewhere around there. So I guess it's been long enough, but...
And one of my favorite talk show hosts, too, of all time, Morton Downey Jr., claimed to have been abducted.
Did he really?
That's right. I remember hearing something.
He was
about
actually
that.
Put under like hypnosis and had the government use the drugs on him. And even under the drugs, he still stuck to the same story when he was abducted on Long Island, which almost starts the setting for Men in Black. But amazing things there. I mean,
his son was in Independence Day.
The crop circles? Morton Downey Jr., the father.
I'm thinking of Harry Connick Jr. No, wait.
Looks just like him, actually. Not
Morton Downey. Wait, who's Morton Downey Jr.?
No, he's the senior, his father. Iron Man is the other one.
Who the hell's Morton Downey Jr.? Who's Morton Downey then? Oh, wait.
Google image it.
Okay.
Morton Downey, what are they, cousins or something? It's not his son, I don't think. Morton Downey Jr. had a talk show on out of Secaucus, New Jersey, which
That's
was
right.
syndicated. And he was actually a singer back in the 50s and 60s.
He was?
And I almost want to say he was like a congressman, too, or some weird, or a senator for a term, or some weird thing. But
yeah, Morton Downey.
And the guy who plays Iron Man, I think, is like his uncle or nephew or some deal like that.
Oh, that's weird.
I know who
he is. I don't know who Morton Downey Sr. was, but...
He punched Stuttering John in the face from Howard Stern, Stuttering John. He went to go interview him, and he got punched in... Stuttering John got punched in the face.
Huh. He had a lot of controversy there with... His show used to be fantastic, but... One thing I would never want to be is alien abducted. Aliens just scare me. Well, it's because it rocks our belief system, I think, more than... Deep down, I think we all know that there's something else out there. We just don't want to see it. It's sort of like the ghost premise. I want to believe it, but I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
So what the hell do we hunt it for? Well, we don't really hunt it, but...
We went to see Jupiter Rising this past weekend, and...
Any good?
It was pretty good, and it dealt with that whole issue of aliens being among us, but... Some people want to know, some people don't want to know, and then unraveling the entire world of what else could be happening around us. It was cool.
Who was in there?
Channing Tatum.
That's right.
The girl.
Oh, well,
there's always a girl. That guy who was in that other movie.
Yeah.
What's her name? Well, some people I talk to, well, I work with a few pagans. Let me put it that way. And they keep telling me that they feel that we're on the verge of an incredible rift, like dark things coming that's about to explode. And I remember seeing something about the Vatican issuing something that there's an increase in vampires. And that Jesus you have Christ, to be ready for the spiritual battle with vampires. That's one thing I've never believed in is vampires, but it scares me that it comes from the Vatican. Now, I was trying to research that, and I found out that they actually, one of the Italian newspapers, believed in 2013 that Benedict was going to be killed by a vampire assassin. Have you ever heard of that?
No, it's so weird.
It's like in one breath, they're like, science now, you know, good science. Let, you know, we got to focus on science that comes from the Vatican and the Pope. And then in the very next breath, it's,
but we'll only
watch,
if,
out, we'll watch out for the vampires.
Only if the vampires don't get us first.
Oh, come on. Don't do that. Don't,
too.
Don't
werewolves were
put
mentioned too.
Crap on a beautiful tasting cupcake. Just leave it. Oh, that's so sad. That's so sad to hear that that would come from that.
But you know what?
But I've heard pagans telling me this too. They said that there's a big fear that the vampires are gaining control, and it's like, what are you
now,
talking about?
Real pagans or pagans?
No, they're real
pagans, and they're so deep because they're just so misunderstood. Real pagan. I'm a real pagan. You might call me a witch. Oh my God! Shut up.
I think
I've heard enough of it.
I think that the we're getting some violent writing here. Yes. Okay.
Is that spirit writing?
No, that was something.
I can't repeat those words on the
air. I think that the Vatican is another one of those examples of an organization that has, like, it's the iceberg effect. There's a little bit above water that we all see and experience, and there's this huge mass that goes on behind the scenes. And I'm not saying that I agree with the vampire werewolf thing, but, you know, just like with our government, there's a lot more that goes on than what we're supposed to know about. And I think the Vatican also has a lot of that same mentality going on.
Yeah. I mean,
it's another clandestine organization.
Yeah. Yep.
We're going to have to ask Mike's brother to find some information on that.
Yeah. I don't
Father
know.
Father Bonifacio. But then you read their scathing reviews about Twilight and how these horror vampires are ruining young women's lives.
That's true.
But there hasn't been a marked increase on TV. What do you got? You got the originals, you got True Blood, you got the Vampire Diaries. Now there's another one coming out.
Thank God for that.
Then there's what, the Headless Horseman thing there down in
Sleepy
Wichita?
Wichita. What?
When we deal with vampires, I'm going to say this. The only vampire movie that I consider an actual real-life vampire movie was John Carpenter's Vampire with James Woods.
Did you like that?
I love that movie.
I liked it, too. I did, too. I thought it was fun to watch.
Did you see it, Dave?
I don't remember.
I liked James Woods in it. He's funny. And, you know, the take they had on those vampire hunting groups was pretty cool. I liked it. I didn't hate it. I didn't. Now, the second one with Bon Jovi was fantastic.
Did you see the third one too?
No, I didn't. I left it off with Bon Jovi. And,
yeah, that kind of ruined the.
And Eddie Winslow from Family Matters.
Oh boy.
You, I would hunt me some vampires. That's how he talks throughout the whole GD movie.
Trying to keep it clean by saying GD.
Thank you.
The best part of that movie was when James Woods asked the priest if the vampire gave him wood. Did he give you mahogany, Father?
Did he give you wood, Father?
You know what the funny thing is? I'm just realizing this. With all of the investigation groups spanning all the genres of the paranormal, ghost hunters, Bigfoot hunters, the cryptid hunters, I've never heard of a vampire hunting group.
Oh, there is one out there. I friended them this week.
Really?
The Vatican Vampire Assassins.
Highgate Cemetery in London. Father Sean Manchester. Okay, I know. I'm sorry. Okay. So
Larry's a member of the
Sean Manchester He's a, I think he's a priest
we
still.
We got a call.
Oh, we do? We got a call.
Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
You said the magic word vampire. I've been a longtime vampire fan from Bram Stoker through, you know, the 70s vampire shows with Christopher, what's his face? And then through, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer all the way up through the latest incarnation with, you know, the, what do you call it, Twilight. And,
can I do a question? Are you... Go ahead.
And I you know, the one thing that seems to, someone said they were afraid of vampires, and, you know, when you realize that it came out of that Victorian age where there was a repression of sexuality, and it was kind of like a perversion of that, an expression of that, the vampire sucking on a woman's neck or someone's neck and drawing blood. And, you know, it that element of sexuality seems to have remained in that whole vampire lore, no matter which form it's taken throughout the years, it seems like.
Yes. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a fan of the actual vampire? What do I want to say?
I love those vampires.
Well, like the historical information about the vampire, or are you like part of the fan fiction vampire? You know, fandom. Which side do you take?
Well, I got interested from the original 1930s Bela Lugosi, and then I, you know, when you do research on it yourself, you learn about the origins of it. I liked all of that. I think that one of the things about it that fascinated me most was that, you know, it does have a basis in reality. We have, you know, sexual predators. We have people that, you know, they look normal during the day or during any time, but you don't really know what's going on underneath. You know, they can prey on you.
Yeah.
And it is interesting, you mentioned like the historical vampire. I mean, you don't really see that too much in America, but a lot of the European graves have like the cages that were put over the graves.
Yep.
They would drive those long pikes and spikes
into
the ground.
They would bury them upside down.
They'd
decapitate the corpse and put it between the legs and shove the mouth full of garlic. They do all of
these things. There's a massive fear of the dead coming back, whether you call it vampires or what have you.
And because of the poor understanding of, I don't know how you'd say, like the human physiology, and after you die, people would say, oh, they groan when you stab them and blood comes out of their mouth. Well, yeah.
Well, the term dead ringer, have you heard of the term dead ringer?
I you know, until you just said, I know exactly what you're going to say. It comes from the, during the plague. And
they used to hang the bell up there with a string, and they would bury the string down into the grave, and they would wait, and a few days later, there would be a ring from the graveyard, and they would go run and
the graveyard
unbury
shift.
The
graveyard shift. That's where that comes from. The person who works in the graveyard.
Undertaker.
The caretaker or whatever. Yep. He would be there, and they were there. He would work the graveyard shift so he can listen for the bells.
So for our caller, being from California, one of my earliest and favorite vampire movies, obviously, was The Lost Boys.
Oh yeah.
Edward Herrmann, come on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I got big into vampires after I saw the episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark called The Tale of the Midnight Madness with Professor Vink with a and Nosferatu was in it. And and that got me right away. I was Nosferatu for Halloween like three times because it was just that's the vampire for me. He's scary and it's the whole film's silent.
Sometimes
and it's
those classics
very
are
eerie. And I love it. I love it.
So, caller, if you're still with us and you're a fan of Twilight, which team are you?
What do you mean, which team?
Team Edward or team?
I'm Team Alice all the way.
Team Alice.
Oh, I'm definitely with Edward and Bella. That's definitely the I don't know what you. But you know, getting back to the other thing, I've seen the original silent Nosferatu. And then the one redone with Klaus Kinski.
Yeah.
Have you seen both of those? Excellent.
Yeah, I saw. I actually like Max Schreck better because, it's not just, it's a classic. It's just so much scarier. I think it's scarier. It is a truly scary and it's a scary movie. It's something you watch at night with the lights out, you know?
And then you cry the whole night.
You're looking every shadow.
Yeah, and also, you know, the thing about it is looking at it as a disease, Relating it to, you know, the way the blade handled it and the way, you know, today, you know, blood diseases, transmission via HIV or whatever, you know, if we're talking about it, it crosses over into reality, I think, like that. That
symbolism for the plague in Nosferatu constantly with the rats. And I mean, even how Nosferatu looks, he looks like a rat.
And, you know, speaking of Blade, that movie, the whole werewolf, the, you know, lycanthropy being a medical condition that causes werewolfism, we were having a discussion about that at work the other day, and somebody's like, no, there's no such thing as that. And, you know, it's well documented. It's historical. It's
bring me in for lunch. I'll show them my hairy arms.
Seriously. You know, it's part of pop culture. It's part of movies, Hollywood. But, you know, a lot of this stuff does have some kind of even a loose medical background to it.
Yeah.
Well, as a caller, thanks for calling us. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening to us. And feel free to chime in anytime.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, one more question. When are you guys going to have on guests, like celebrity guests or authors, you know, talking about vampires? How about some guests along those lines, either from the film industry or the science fiction or horror?
We've actually been trying to get Rosemary Ellen Guiley on for a while. It's just the conflicting schedule, the time that we're actually on. She's noted for vampires and paranormal studies. She's done many books on witchcraft, demon, everything you can pretty much imagine. But
that would be nice to have her on.
Yeah, we have a nice little list going of people who are, you know, at some point supposed to be coming on our show. It's getting the schedules to work. So
Tuesday at 8 o'clock is not a good time for some reason.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
We will keep trying for you.
Definitely.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, man. Or day, or whatever time it is.
I don't care. There's just something about Alice, that kooky little girl. in a spooky world.
Sean?
Why is she with Jasper? I actually wrote a fan fiction called The Romance of Alice.
Oh, you did not. Did you really?
That I was actually going to film it and put it on YouTube, but I decided not to.
Jesus.
What the hell, Peter?
I play Colonel Arthur Plantagenet of the 1st Texas Cavalry. But we'll just leave it at that.
Jesus Christ almighty. There is a vampire hunting group out of... it's
Jasper Whitlock!
You here we go. All right, go ahead again.
Great tale. Yeah. Major Jasper Whitlock. Confederate States. Sorry, go ahead.
Peter, I love you. You know that? You're a hell of a guy.
Damnation!
Okay, so where's our vampire investigation?
I don't even care anymore. No, there's Highgate Cemetery in London, and there's a priest named Sean Manchester, and he has recorded claims of him actually disposing of vampires and hunting vampires. Which there's one claim that he has that he went into a cemetery one night because this woman that died in the town, she was seen over by the cemetery. So she went in there, and this woman or a man, I can't remember. But anyways, he was over by one of the mausoleums, and this giant spider comes like chasing him out of the mausoleum from around. And he stabbed it a bunch of times and killed it. And then as the sun came up, it slowly turned into the person's body that was seen and blah, 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 blah. He's actually got quite a following, I guess, and there's other things that he's done, but look him up. He's an interesting feller. Highgate Cemetery, though. It's in Highgate, and that's supposed to be one of the most haunted cemeteries.
Yes, I've heard of the cemetery, absolutely.
Ever. I mean, it's supposed to be bad. It's supposed to be really, like, you go in there, you're probably going to... There are EVPs that people catch of little girls talking and everything, and that's just creepy little English little kids, you know? Like... they're gonna sing Another Brick in the Wall in a minute, and it's like, play with us, Danny.
Is that
forever and ever?
Was that a prison back in the medieval days, Highgate?
I don't know, but maybe that might be connected somewhat. Yeah,
I think that was one of the places they used to kill people. Yeah. So at Highgate,
Highgate Cemetery, and there's one in Louisiana that's really, really haunted by
the Myrtles.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the plantation.
Well, that's the plantation, but it's where they filmed Interview with the Vampire and
all that down in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. This one's really supposed to be really, really haunted. Marie
DeVoe.
Is that what the witch's name was?
Yeah.
She's buried there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is...
I can't remember what cemetery it is. My buddy went and visited him. Like, yes. He was there having coffee.
Destination Truth did an episode there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I remember the song. Marie
DeVoe. Yeah, they were there for...
Where is all that snow going?
We've had literally like 70 trucks loaded with snow go by during this show.
It's going to Scarface's house. You want to bring me the snow? I'll bring you the snow.
They were there during...
Mardi Gras?
Thank you. Jeez, I'm thinking about snow.
Martin's Grave.
Yeah, they were there during Mardi Gras. And then they visited the cemetery and did the whole, you know, that's witch cool. grave thing.
I would love to go there. Just to walk around. I mean, even in Salem, not even to just do any paranormal investigating or any kind of hunting, anything, just to go and look. Like, I loved when I went to Salem a few years ago and just walking around. It's just...
We're going to Salem. When are we?
We April are, in fact, going 12. To Salem.
April
10th through 12th.
10th through 12th. Mm-hmm. We'll be in Salem, Massachusetts.
And then the following week in Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Heck yeah.
This weekend in Guilford, New York.
I think it's Guilford.
Is it Guilford?
I think it's Guilford.
I'll take your word for it. It's like that Chautauqua where we went in August.
Chautauqua?
Yeah.
Is that the one that's tripping you up?
Yeah.
Chautauqua.
Yeah, but spell it.
Chautauqua.
Exactly.
All right.
Dunkirk. We went to Dunkirk.
Actually, I bet you I can spell it. You ready? Okay.
No. No, that you're writing letters down.
What about it? It's still me spelling it.
No, spell it.
I am.
C-H-L.
No, that's not it.
M.
It's not L. Why are you being a jerk?
P-R.
C-H-I-T-A-Q-U-A.
C-H-A.
C-H-A. Chat.
Damn it. I'm gonna go.
Qua. Yeah.
Lose sleep over this tonight.
Chautauqua.
You lose a lot of sleep.
Chautauqua.
So let's take the root of all vampire. Are they demons? Do they mimic the story?
You know
demons?
What I like? I really like the Buffy. Like he mentioned Buffy, and I was a huge Buffy because I was huge into. Buffy. I was when I was. This is how I got into paranormal investigating. I was really big into the magic things, and then I slowly got into doing this. But I did a lot of research on vampires, and there's different things. People, I mean, it's a body with a demon in it, so it's kind of a possession, but it's of a dead body. And then there's people losing what you'd call the part of your soul that's love, and it's gone, and you're just mean and evil. And then, I don't know. I really liked Buffy's version where they said that it's more like a demon in the body than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we should dive into elementals.
I got some good ideas on elementals too.
Do you think there were some in our backyard? Because there were times in the summer I would be totally freaked out to be near that river, and I would run inside, like literally,
you know,
fight or flight, like get the hell inside. There's just...
I think much like everything else in this world, there's a lot of things that go on that we don't necessarily understand. And I think nature, energy, you know, so many different cultures have the tree energy, the, you know, all these different things. I would definitely say that there's something to it.
We could definitely, I would love to talk about elementals and different kinds of, like, out in the woods haunted things.
The Irish have an entire philosophy based on elementals.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
And when you think about, like, leprechauns and all of these things, are they, what would you say they are really? They live out in the wilderness. I mean.
Well, Iceland, too. There's actually laws protecting them.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yep.
Fairies, all of these things come from where? I mean, there's some kind of truth. There's got to be some kind of some truth to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody saw something and misunderstood it in the past, or...
Yep.
Last one, Destination Truth. I remember he did one up in Iceland, and he was standing in front of that thing, and he's like, are we really arguing whether this is
a fairy
door or something? He's like, are we really arguing this, like human beings?
Do you know he's back on? Yes. He's got a new show?
We are out of time, gentlemen.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for our caller.
Thank you to BBS. Caller, and probably only listener. So thank you.
Oh, come on.
Hey.
And thank you, Larry. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Pete.
Steve, we hope you get better. Rich, get a snowblower. No. Until 2 weeks from now. Elementals.
Heck yeah.
They're coming.
on the table.
Dun, dun, dun.
We are the three paranormal amigos.
One for each other and all for one.
Well, they had the invisible gunman, right? They had the...
Yeah, they did.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com.
And Facebook and Twitter.
Happy hunting and stay spooky.